Another one of those guys that requires no introduction. Nick Jackson joins the show today. We had Jay Higgins. We have the other half of the linebacking corps. And Nick has one of the more interesting stories in maybe all of college football. Started his career at Virginia, experienced tragedy, the transfer portal, and is now training for the NFL draft. Once a Cavalier, but as you'll hear, a true Hawkeye. Love this episode with Nick. You guys will too. Let's have a day. Let's go. Another Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast, another guest, another recent graduate and senior from the University of Iowa football team joins us. That is Nick Jackson, and he does not qualify as a Wash Up Walk-On. He's very much so still relevant, and he had more offers than Kevin and I could have ever imagined to get in our lifetime. Obviously, this guy holds like some longevity records. Nick, I saw before I got on here, I was looking at like 555 tackles, 73 games played in. I don't know how your body's still put together. We appreciate you joining the show tonight, man.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
Dude, does your body hurt?
No, it honestly feels pretty good, especially a couple months after the season. So it feels pretty good right now.
I would imagine right now during the training, I'm sure you've got massage like every Monday, stretching, PT, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They do a really good job of treating us right and getting our body active.
Where are you at right now?
I'm at Bomberitos down in Miami.
Miami. Gosh, I was just there about a month ago. It was actually kind of cold, but it's a lot better than Iowa right now.
Yeah, I heard. I heard it's like, what, like you get 10 inches of snow the other day or something?
Like eight. It's been eight. Negative temps. I don't know if it's gotten above 5 degrees the last 3 days. So it's tough. It's tough.
Miami sounds pretty good. I guess I don't miss that part of Iowa.
Did Virginia get cold?
Nothing like Iowa. I mean, it just got like into the 20s probably. Okay. It snowed a couple times, but for the most part, it was nothing like Iowa.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit different when it gets cold here. It's like it hurts your soul. So, yeah. Kevin Grant, remind me, I don't know if we've had on a player that's been a transfer portal guy. Is Nick our first transfer portal guy?
Because
way we usually start this show is like,
I feel like we had James Butler a while back.
Okay. We did have James Butler in our class. Yeah, sure. Usually we start this with like, how did Iowa find you, man? How'd you commit to Iowa City? But you've got a little bit of a different story, and I did a little bit of research. It sounds like Iowa did recruit you a little bit originally back in 2018.
Yeah. So when I was coming out of high school, Coach Wallace likes to give me a lot of hard time about he came down to my high school and apparently I didn't give him the time of day or something like that. I mean, that's entirely not true though. I just remember I was just a high school kid in Atlanta, Georgia, and I didn't know what Iowa was. Like that was a long trek from home. Heard great things about it. T-Good was actually like in our kind of like area, so I knew him.
That's
like
right.
I knew of him. I wasn't gonna say like we're close friends or anything, but then he ended up going to Iowa. So obviously, like I saw a lot of Iowa stuff and crossovers through social media. But yeah, I wasn't ready to go to Iowa right out of high school, so I had to make my way around after that second time.
I imagine Coach Wallace does give you plenty of crap for that. He likes to do that. He's our favorite guy around here. So we got a t-shirt with his face on it somewhere. We can get you one. So you're from Atlanta.
Yep.
Football always the dream.
So I was honestly like back and forth basketball, football, probably up until middle school. And then when I got to high school, you know, I stopped growing at like 6'5", 6'1". And, you know, that football dream just became way more of the reality, you know.
I feel like that's how it happens. That's just how.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be a basketball player until you stop growing.
Yeah. Once you realize you're not going to be 6'7", then you switch.
You got to make that decision.
Were you pretty good at basketball?
I mean, I was high school good, honestly. I mean, I was like all region, but I'm nothing like, you know, D1 level or anything like that.
Did you and Jay ever go to the field house or the rec and go one-on-one?
Yeah, he can't guard me. That's not a competition, but.
Sounded like he was a pretty good hooper, though.
Yeah, we asked him about it. He said he was pretty good.
I mean, he was in Indiana, like real textbook, fundamental guy.
So you're saying you're grittier. You just have a better feel for the game. It was just more fluid down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoopers down in Atlanta. You know, we don't need the backdoor cut to go get a bucket.
I can't wait. I can't wait to. We had him on. I'm going to send him that. I'm going to send him that clip.
About all the time. It's all good.
Is it weird now? You're in Miami. We had Jay on. He's in Dallas or something. Luke Lachey, he's out in Cali. Is it kind of weird to go through that process? And we'll get to your story about how you were kind of there and then you weren't. You got another year and then you got another year. And now you're finally here and you all split up into these different training camps and you grab an agent and they kind of have their place where they want you to go train for the draft. Do you sit there right now during this sort of weird 3-month period and you're just like, man, life is kind of crazy?
Yeah, it's wild. Honestly, it's like, cause you know, like the season and how rigorous the season is. And you're like, you're with the same guys for 12 hours a day for 6-7 months straight. And then it's like, all right, now we're all getting on a plane and we're all going separate ways and I'll see you, you know, whenever pro day is, you know? So it's like, it's crazy, but it's honestly a pretty cool process though, just to go through. But yeah, it's weird being without your guys, but I mean, you make new friends here too, but you know, you miss the guys for sure.
Yeah. The process of choosing an agent and choosing a place to work out and stay, like what was that like? Was that stressful for you? Did you try to make that easy? What did that look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just really kind of came down to like someone I could trust and I knew that believed in me. You know, you hear a lot of the pitches from like agents and stuff and they all sound really similar. You know, they kind of like, it's like rinse, wash, repeat. But then it's just like, who can you trust? Who's going to be just a good image of you? When they're just talking to those higher ups and stuff like that. And, I just going through that process, you know, I just kind of asked my parents and a lot of like what they thought too when we were on those Zoom calls and stuff like that. As for the facility, it was more just like, you know, what have you done with guys in the past? Like what's the like workout routine schedule? What do you specialize in? For like my needs specifically for when I test and then just kind of like going through all that, like how many guys do you have? Or like, are you going to be with like those, you know, Travis Hunters and all those freaks shows? So like you're more worried about them than you are about me. So kind of just going through and taking all that in.
What are you hoping to work on most this before the testing days come around?
Mostly just the 40, really. Just trying to run the fastest 40 possible.
I feel like you might be a guy who, like, you're gonna do your best. You're gonna go and ball out on pro day, and then you just want a shot. Like, your mentality is maybe just get my foot in the door, and I'll make it happen from there. Does that sound right?
Yeah, no doubt about that. Like, I just any opportunity, whatever it calls, like, I won't flinch.
We have to talk a little bit about this. I mean, my man, you were snubbed. I mean, it's like the news of last week. You were snubbed.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where you can look at it and you can dwell about it. You can get sad about it or whatever. But honestly, like my mentality was like, I'm not going to flinch. Like, you know, anything about it, you can't control it. This whole process is one process you really can't control. Like your tape is your resume. You can control. You got an opportunity at pro day. You know, I know Coach Wallace has put me in some great situations and had me really confident about learning defenses and schemes and everything like that. So, you know, anything like I'll have his opportunity on pro day and, you know, I won't flinch. Give me an opportunity to get my foot in the door and let's play ball. Like when it all comes down to it.
Just more time to train, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, man, you're like one of those guys that, like you said, just turn on the film. You've got probably more film out there than any other linebacker in your class of you playing. So I do think that there is this bias till everyone in the NFL is like, all right, well, what are his testing numbers? But bro, man, if you can't play, if you can't move in space, if you can't diagnose a play and just boom and go, it's like, all right, you're fast, but you're running the wrong direction, dude. So I think the right team's gonna see that in you, and I think you're doing just fine, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a highway speed lead.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing, Kev. If tape is the resume and that's what people care about, there ain't nobody that got more tape than this guy. I mean, my goodness. Dude, 555 tackles? 4 seasons with over 100 tackles? Josie Jewel who? What? This is our shirt, by the way, Nick.
That's awesome.
Tell me about Goat Wallace. What makes him special?
He's honestly, like, that's my guy when it all comes down to it. Like, I love Coach Wallace. He cares so much about the guys that he coaches with that passion. And you know when someone, like, you know when someone cares about you that much, like, however they, like, comes across that they say it, it's because it comes from a place of, like, they want you to succeed. They want you to make plays. They genuinely care about you. Like he knows that, like, how much it means to us, and he knows how much it means to him, but he wants us to go out there and perform our best. And he puts in every minute, every hour, every second, honestly, to give us the most preparation possible for Saturdays.
You got a favorite? Is he still doing the acronyms on the wall there?
Yeah, he still has them up there.
You got a favorite?
He's changed the meanings of a couple, but I'm just going to walk on mentality. I'll leave it at that one. I like that one.
Okay, we like that. That's Nick bringing the fire. He's bringing the vibe here. Okay. It is a good mentality to have, because sometimes you just gotta find a way to get it done. Let's swing it back to when you were coming out of high school. You chose Virginia. You had a long list of offers. I mean, you had some Big Ten offers. You had, like, I imagine being in Atlanta. Was SEC ever the dream? Like, is that where guys want to go? It seemed like in a couple other interviews, Virginia was kind of – I think your dad went to Virginia maybe?
Yeah, so my dad went to Virginia, and so there was a huge connection there. And
okay.
Did your dad play there?
No, he didn't play, but he was, like, real cool with a bunch of dudes on the team. And so he, like, hung around those guys a lot too.
Okay.
But – like, going to Virginia was kind of, like, honestly, like, my, like, dream from the get-go, because, I mean, Virginia was all over the house. Virginia was everywhere. So I was always, like, I was visiting schools with, like, saying, like, why, like, would I not go to Virginia? Like, could this be better than Virginia versus just, like, going to Virginia? But, yeah, definitely an SEC country. You know, everybody was huge on the SEC. And definitely pushing the SEC agenda for me to go into the SEC, but
just means more.
SEC offers?
What'd you say?
Do you have any SEC offers?
Yeah, I had a few. I didn't have, like, the blue bloods and stuff like that, but, you know, I had a few of them, like the Missouri kind of level, Arkansas, all that stuff. But yeah, honestly, like, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to, like, play in the SEC being from Atlanta. But, you know, I think that it's really cool, like, when you get to a bowl game and stuff like that, playing against SEC school, because when you go back and talk to your boys back home, you're like, all right, like, the SEC is not all that, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It was always like that yearly test. It seems like in bowl games, Kev, we played LSU, Tennessee,
yep,
Stanford, Florida. Awesome. Yeah, so we played three SEC teams in our 5 years of bowl games.
And, didn't go well.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
The crazy thing is the most talented team we played was the team that we played the closest. That LSU team was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cam was telling me about that.
Yeah.
The quarterback. Berger, OBJ, Jarvis. Yeah. Their defense was loaded. I think
they had 9 future draft picks on that defense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we played them to the fourth quarter. Like, it was tight. Kevin and I didn't have anything to do with that game, but we watched it from the side.
We're on the sideline, yeah.
And it was cool. It was sort of an eye-opening experience for us. Like, I mean, OBJ wasn't OBJ in that yet.
He made an OBJ catch in that game.
But he did make a crazy catch in that game, and it was like, damn, like, these guys are good. But you kind of realize, like, okay, like, Ohio State's good, Michigan's good. All, you know, these they're not special, right? Like, what's KFC?
I mean, they're teams. I mean, they strap up the same way you strap up.
Sure.
Which is cool. Yeah.
They just might look a little better walking off the bus.
They definitely look good. They look good.
They look great, man.
They look good in the jersey, as he would say.
Fucking Penn State. They look great, okay. So you go to Virginia, and you get early playing time, man. Like, you were – I think you played in every game your freshman year, true freshman year, and then you were starting by your sophomore year, right?
Yeah. So I got to play special teams for the first half of the season, and then – once our starting mic kind of went down with an injury my freshman year, I got, you know, go in and start a couple games and then, you know, rotated in a couple games where he couldn't go if it was hurting him a little bit too much. So got some good tick there.
What was the mentality out of high school? What was your expectation of when you would see the field?
Honestly, like, looking back on it, like, I was so naive out of high school. Like, I was more just like, just sit down, like, work hard, and, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And then you get to college. And I remember my first fall camp practice when I got to Virginia. Like, I could barely get through the warm-up. Like, I was so tired. Like, it was hot. It was everything. And I was dying to – like, I didn't even want to, like, go in for 7-on-7 or any of those drills because I was like, I'm not going to make it through. So, you know, I just was, like, trying to build up, honestly, like – just trying to get better, honestly, every single day. I didn't know what, like, was in store for me really that year. I know just, like, when you are that number two as a freshman, you kind of just, like, every game you're kind of just sitting there, like what's going to happen? Like, every time your starter gets hit, it's like, okay, like, am I about to go in or what? So, like, having that scared mentality as a freshman, like helped me prepare. You know, so I was always felt like I was getting more prepared. And I was learning more about football, and the vet was really good in just teaching me, like, the ways and stuff like that. So just, like, learning a lot and just trying to get as good as possible. So when my time was called, I was kind of ready.
I mean, it seemed like you were pretty ready. You ended up being 2-time captain, you know, several successful seasons as a starting middle linebacker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And early on, when you started to get that playing time, the guy goes down. Was it a nervous energy, like you said, kind of a scared energy, or did you feel confident going in?
So I felt like I was a little confident because, you know, I got sprinkled in if we were up by a bunch. You know, I'd gotten a couple reps, but, like, so the first time I got in, which is crazy, is, like, we were at Louisville, and I think we were like 7-2 or something like that, or maybe like it was earlier in the season, so probably like 3-1 or something like that. I don't even know, but we were at Louisville and he got a targeting call, right? So yeah. I'm going in, I'm playing, it's second half, it's like third quarter, I'm going in. This is when Louisville has Mekhi Becton, so I go in. Mekhi Becton is the starting guard on the Eagles right now, like 6'7", 330, 350. He's like a top 5 pick in the draft next year. They run just like outside zone right to me. He just throw me right out the club. So, I mean, I was kind of like a welcome to college football moment. It's like, hey, bud, like, but
there's some dudes out there.
Yeah, there's some freak shows out there.
You think they schemed that up knowing that you came in that play?
Yeah, I think they saw, you know, that guy went out and the, you know, freshman came in, and I think they were like, let's go right at him. So see what happens. But
it's what smart OCs do, right?
Yeah, I know.
See what we got against them, right? Yeah, Mekhi Becton is one of the bigger human beings I think I've ever seen on a television.
Yeah, he's huge.
Like, he was a little banged up during the Super Bowl, and they saw him trying to warm up there on the sideline. I'm just like, that's a massive human being.
Yeah, he's ginormous.
What's crazy, Travis or Kev, is that Wirfs is like bigger. He's not 6'7", he's like 6'5", but like Wirfs is like 360. I don't know. Has Wirfs ever been back in the building, Nick, when you were there?
I don't think so. I don't think I saw him.
OK.
Maybe once.
I mean, he's down. You could probably drive and see him right now. He's
in Tampa.
Just over there in Tampa. So you play a bunch. You're named a captain. And then this crazy shit happens at Virginia, the whole shooting thing, which I didn't even know was part of your story. And, you know, over in Iowa, like you said, you're down in Atlanta. I don't even know where Iowa is. You kind of, when you're in your own state or your own area of the country, everything else is kind of like this outside noise. And so, like, from our perspective, you hear that, you know, that whole event happens, but you're like, oh shit, like, that's crazy. Like, but it's not me, right? So,
yeah,
it just kind of goes away eventually. And that's not really something that goes away when you're a part of it. And like, you were about as close to that as you could be. What was that like, man? Like, what? It's got to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. Honestly, it's just it's one of those. You're speechless. You still can't put words to it. Because it's like, those are your brothers, you know, you've been in those locker rooms too, and you know how you treat those guys and, your best friends. And, you've been through a lot together. You know, you go through dorms with guys, you grow up with guys, you know, go get meals, jokes, all that stuff. And you compete against the guys. That's like family. So, I mean, it hurts. It hurts every day. But you know, you kind of live in honor of those guys and play for those guys. And just know, like, the mentality that they would have, just knowing, like, how much they would – what they would do to be in your spot right now. And you love them. You miss them every single day. But, yeah, there's no real words other than just, you know, it's a tragedy.
And that happened in 2022?
Yeah, that happened in 2022.
Which was your junior year?
That was my senior year at Virginia.
That was your true senior year.
Yeah.
What's the aftermath like that? Like, I mean, like, everyone's just in shock, I'm sure. But, like, I don't even know how you show up to the complex the next day or the next week or whenever it is, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, our season was over pretty much after that. So, I mean, we came in, we worked out. But I mean, our last two games were canceled. So, I mean, it was tough. It was tough. It was tough on everybody. Like, I mean, there's no really going back to life, like, as you knew it after that.
Did a lot of other guys end up transferring out too?
Like, declared, transferred. But yeah, I mean, everybody kind of took their own path.
2022. So you were 19, 20, 21, 22. So you're your second year there is the COVID year, which means you pick up that extra COVID year. At that time, you're sitting there. What is your mindset like? Was there – what percentage were you like, I'm going to stay here and finish out my career at Virginia, or I'm going to enter the portal? Like, when did that even come to your mind after all that craziness happened?
Yeah, honestly, it was more like I was thinking either like stay at Virginia or like declare, honestly, okay, at that point.
Yeah.
And then just like after everything like was going on and stuff, you know, like mentally I was messed up for a while, right? So
yeah.
It hurt me, like Deshaun, like Lavelle, Devin, like they're my brothers, like they're my boys. Like Deshaun especially was like one of my best friends. So it was like it was hard for me just to like process everything. And I just knew I wasn't in the space to, you know, like even going through this training process now, like you're alone a lot, right? So
yeah.
I really want to be alone. And I knew that I wanted to get my degree and graduate from Virginia. So like our program, like at the business school was a four semester program. And they wrote it like that. So you can't do stuff like and transfer or try and like do any way or graduate early or something like that. They want you to stay four semesters for it. So I knew I had to stay that spring semester. So I figured that just transferring and entering my name in the portal was the best bet for me. But honestly, I entered on the last day of portal season or something like that. I didn't even know because I was so just like I wasn't planning on transferring at all.
Yeah.
So then I entered and then like they were like the next like I'm getting calls and stuff. But then like the next day, it's like the dead zone or something like that. So it kind of worked out well. And then just went back home, relaxed for a couple of weeks, and then came back to Virginia and you know, the start of the process of just trying to graduate and just being a normal student that semester.
When you finally
being a normal student, like,
yeah,
I'm curious about that.
It was interesting, honestly. It's like, because you go to like the rec, right? And then you work out and, you know, like you just trying to like do your workouts and stuff like that. And, you know, you see some guys in there with like some 25s and kind of struggling a little bit. And you're like, you're just so like trained to see like guys throwing up crazy weight. Like, yeah, everybody's got two plates on the bar. Like, you're just used to seeing that versus like just what reality is. So you kind of get set in that way, but
it's hard to fit in and, you know, stay under wraps when
G-Boney, can you imagine going to the rec at Iowa and just one of the football guys is in there just hang cleaning 275?
See, I mean, they're definitely not like the football team's not pulling up to the rec or anything, but there's some guys in there who, like, if you're even thrown around like any above average weight, like, you're like, the whole gym just kind of looks over and it's like, who's this guy? So I can imagine, Nick, when you're at Virginia, it's like, oh shit, holy cow, Nick Jackson's pulling up again. We gotta watch this guy work out a little bit.
Yeah,
give this guy an audience. When you finally decide, you get through that, you're like, okay, I guess I'm gonna get in the portal. We're gonna figure this out. I'm gonna take advantage of one last year, make the best of it. What in your mind are you looking for? Maybe you're not even thinking about it, but like, what makes a school attractive at that point? What's guiding your decision and where you're gonna end up in the portal?
Yeah, I wanted to just go to a school that kind of, like, football was like its main tradition. Like, it was a football school. Like, they have history behind it. And honestly, just like a program where, like, defensively I was going to get developed. And just, I was going to learn and be able to like take that next step to the NFL and learn anything that I might not have learned at Virginia or might not have been able to do at Virginia, kind of just hone in on that. And just kind of going through that process, that just ended up being Iowa.
Yeah, decent spot for all the things you just said.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, so having Coach Brooks, sitting down with him was awesome.
What were the other – so we talked to we recorded with Brad Heinrichs last week. I think he mentioned that it was between Iowa and Oklahoma. And
yeah, Oklahoma and LSU were kind of my top three.
Which, I mean, when you talk about schools who are football schools, tradition, I guess I don't know so much about how – if they pride themselves on defense in those two programs, it seems like maybe not as a fleet.
Maybe two out of the three.
But, you know, obviously very, very attractive schools for football. They've both done great things just in the past 10 years. Great players, pedigree. What makes that final push there? And we were also told that there might have been a bottle of Pappy involved.
Oh, Brad. What a guy.
Brad's insane.
But yeah, honestly, it's like,
not for you, by the way. Not for you. Nick wasn't trying to say, hey, who can get me this bottle of Pappy?
Yeah, it's kind of a part of that one, huh? But yeah, honestly, when you're talking about schools like that, it was a blessing to kind of be in that situation. You hear about a whole bunch of people who get caught in the portal, right? And it's those horror stories where they kind of try and leave a place and you can't get out. And I was lucky. I mean, I had options, which was, I mean, a blessing at that point. So I was happy about that, honestly. But it really just came down to, like, when I got to Iowa, like, what it felt like, honestly. And then when I met with Coach Parker and Coach Wallace and just got to, like, got on the board and learned about the scheme, you know, at Virginia, like, we did a lot of, like, just blitzing, exotic stuff, and man-to-man and stuff like that, right? So I thought just, you know, learning, like, linebacker and playing more just base stuff, honestly, and then playing more zone, which is
Completely different than what you're used to, yeah.
Yeah, so it was really helpful to, you know, kind of add that into what I was going to be ready for at the next level, ultimately, which, I mean, I might play a lot of man at the next level, I might play a lot of zone, but learning zone structures and stuff like that was really cool. And, you know, just the way they broke it down, and, you know, Coach Wallace, he's fiery anytime he watches film. And, that was the guy that I knew I wanted to just, you know, trust my next chapter with.
So before we get more into, you know, your time at Iowa, I'm just curious, like, obviously high school recruiting is a years long process. Like, you know, starts sophomore year for a bunch of guys, junior year versus transfer portal. This is over the course of a couple of weeks, right? Like, or maybe sometimes even less time. What's like, feel like kind of like there's a lot of pressure there. Like, you know, you got to make your decision and kind of make it under.
No, I kind of like the transfer portal way better in a sense of like I was way more mature. So it's like I know what I want. Like I know what I want. I know what I'm looking for. Like I'm not enamored to post like, oh, I got like blessed to receive an offer from, you know, this school. Like, that wasn't me. Like
hashtag blessed.
Coach Wallace, like they were like, hey, let's go to this photo shoot. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's probably like, think.
Oh, yeah. When you said that, Wallace was like, oh, yeah, we got a fucking football player here. Fuck.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I just don't want to do a photo shoot right now. Like, I'd rather, like, I think Caitlin Clark was playing. So we went to the Caitlin Clark game. And so I was like, this is way more entertaining than me putting on a, you know, football helmet and just like taking pictures of myself. Like, that's not like, I
give my followers at, man.
Yeah, like I mean, I don't care how many followers I have or anything like that. It's more just like, let's play ball, and we can watch ball. Let's watch ball. So I thought that was, you know, when they took me to the game and stuff like that, that was really cool throughout that process. But, yeah, I think just being more mature, and, you know, you see kind of like a school for what it is versus, like, you know, when you're 17, 18 years old, you're enamored with everything, man, like – you know, a name, a logo, everything like that, like what, you know, your high school friends are going to think about your commitment, all that stuff. So I'm glad, like, it was short, sweet, and, you know, you picked the right school.
I do have a question, though, Nick, because as much as you mature in those 3 years and you do a lot and you can get past some of that superficial stuff on the high school side, like the taking pictures and who was it, like I think it was Jay who was making fun of kids who were like taking pictures with Ferrari on the field and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was one major thing that came into play just a year before, like not even, I think in the summer of 21 is when the NIL stuff passed. Was that a factor in your decision? Did that play into it at all? Like, obviously I mentioned Brad, he was part of that process. You know, Brad Heinrichs now, like obviously it had something to do with it, but how much did you really put into that versus the other intangible stuff that you talk about?
Yeah. So when I got in the portal, like, I didn't even know, like, honestly, it was actually funny because I got in the portal and, you know, I drove back to Georgia, like a 7-hour drive. And like some coaches were calling me like the whole ride. And, you know, they would call me and be like, is this like a money grab? Like, you just want to be like the highest paid dude, or like you're looking for a good school, or like you're trying to stay in the ACC. And so I'm sitting there like, I didn't even know like money was on the table. Like at Virginia, we were just starting our NIL program. Like guys were getting a little bit of money, but like it wasn't anything like you hear about on social media now, right? So I didn't even like NIL wasn't even a thought process in transferring for me. Like it was more like, where can I go play ball? And then you get in the portal and then you hear like X and you hear Y, you hear Z, and you're like, okay, well, this is insane. Like, it's a cool process, but honestly, like Swarm and Brad, they do a lot, right? So, I mean, I'm really thankful for them. And at the end of the day, Brad's a really good dude. Like, I think that's what people don't like some people don't see it, but like he's a great human being. And you know, like what he does for us and what he does just for this, like he doesn't have to do really. So, I mean, it's just it's a huge tribute to him and a huge tribute to everyone who donates to Swarm, because I mean they, at this landscape, in this football landscape, like it's needed, and it helps get the players that we need to be successful at Iowa.
He certainly doesn't need to do the Swarm. He is plenty successful in his own right. And that is Kev. The more I hear this guy talk, the more I think that KF and Coach Parker and Woods, when Nick left the building, they're like, this is the one. We just lucked into like this guy's looking for the Iowa program and we found him. Like, and also, not to mention, Nick, you come in at a time where Jack and Seth had just left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like this was almost a match made in heaven. Like it was perfect.
It was perfect. I couldn't have dreamed of a better fit, you know.
Now, when you guys were going through your recruiting and you're, you know, doing your board talk with Parker and Wallace, did they talk to you about like, hey, we see you as a Mike, we see you as a Will, or anything like that? Or did they just kind of go through the grand scheme of things, you know,
kind of went through the grand scheme of things. They talked about Mike, they talked about Will. So it was kind of like going back and forth.
Sure. So what was that like when you actually get in here? Is like moving to the Will position? Obviously, it's a completely different philosophy of defense. So, I mean, even if you stayed at the Mike, it probably wouldn't have been all too similar. But what was the adjustment like there when you start when you get on the field for Iowa defense?
Yeah, it's different. Honestly, I mean, like you're sitting in zone a lot. And, you know, I mean, there's no secret to that. The whole world knows it. But it's different. You know, I mean, you're used to blitzing, exotic man, stuff like that, right? And you're kind of sitting there and you're in coverage. And then you're reading and reacting, and then you're manipulating the front, all that stuff. So I think it was cool. I mean, everything in the boundary, I feel like, happened a little bit faster than it did to the field. Field was definitely more space, but the boundary, it's just like if it's going to be a pass, it's going to be boom.
They attack our Will linebacker in pass a lot.
Yeah, so it was an adjustment for sure. I mean, as you guys can probably see in the first couple of games last year, right? I definitely learned a lot. But yeah, I mean, honestly, that was one of the cool things too, is just like, you know, you play 3 or 4 years at Mike and then now you get to play Will. So, just kind of add into the repertoire of what you feel good about at the next level.
How many times did you get beat by the hunter route in practice before you finally figured it out? Cause I feel like it takes every Will linebacker at least 2 weeks, their first time playing it.
I get beat by a hunter route still. So I get beat by it still. I'd be lying. If Coach Wallace was watching and I told you guys no, he'd probably be like, yeah, okay.
He'd call you up.
You know the story of who it's named after?
I heard it was just a linebacker named Hunter or last
yep,
name.
Jeremiah Hunter, yep. So if they name a route after you and you are a defensive player at Iowa, it's not a good thing. It means you could not fucking guard it. So as long as it's the Hunter route, it means that we've had good enough linebackers that they haven't had to rename it. So,
are there any Ward routes out there?
There's no Ward routes out there.
Okay,
right. You actually have to get on the field and get beaten by it. So,
yeah. Oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Before we continue, we'll take a little quick second to shout out our sponsor, Eagle Point Solar, down there. If you're watching the YouTube version of this on the overlay, you can see beautiful little logo. Imagine this, Kevin. Imagine there was this massive, almost inconceivably big, fiery ball in the sky called the sun, right? And some company decided, hey, we're going to use that as a renewable energy. We're going to use that to power our homes, solar energy. And then you decided not to take advantage of that. Who would make that move? Somebody not smart, okay? Somebody that just doesn't care about saving money every month? EaglePointSolar.com. Go get your free solar analysis. Send them your energy bill for the last 12 months. Lima, by the way, recorded with Lima earlier this week. You guys heard that episode. Let's see, this comes out on a Thursday. You guys heard that on Monday. Lima, the next day, already did his solar analysis. $200 gift card. I'm just trying to get people $200 Amazon gift cards around here. Does that sound like a good deal to you, Nick? If you just you do a free analysis with them, you get a $200 to Amazon.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, everybody needs $200 to Amazon. I'm just trying to help people out around here.
I'm going to buy some Amazon stock because everyone's going to be spending money on Amazon here soon.
Goddamn right. So, you know, it's an investment like anything, but you go to Eagle Point Solar, you get educated. Turns out you can save $25, $50, $100 a month. Who knows? Depending on your energy situation, they can get you set straight and on a path to maybe – a little extra cash in your pocket every month. Back to Nick. What was it like coming into the room and meeting this guy named Jay Higgins? And it's like, you're both stepping into a starting role the same year. You're filling some big shoes. I don't even know what your perception of Benson and Campbell was as you stepped in, but we were on the outside a little bit worried when those two guys have to be replaced, and we're like, okay, who's gonna be our linebackers? And then we were just gifted you and Jay Higgins. Like, it was amazing from our side. What was it like from your end?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things you don't really think about, but you know, when you in the transfer portal, you're looking at guys kind of, you know, you're going to play similar positions to, right? And you see Jack Campbell and you see Seth Benson and you watch the tape on them and just dogs, you know, just junkyard dogs. And those guys made play after play after play after play. So, I mean, it excites you to go into that defense. But, yeah, you have a lot to live up to, right? So, I mean, those guys, you're never going to be them, right? So that's kind of the mentality that we had, you know, just never going to be them. But you just go down and work as hard as you can and try and make as many plays as you can just to kind of hold that standard. But, yeah, man, those guys, I watch a lot of their tape, you know, and Jack, obviously, you know, Buckus winner, you hear him everywhere, right? But as good as everyone knows he is, I think Seth Benson doesn't get nearly enough credit. Like, he's facts. A dog, like, and he made a lot of plays. So I was really, like, interested just to you know, watch their tape, learn more about it than when I actually, like, knew what the defense was and stuff like that. But those guys, you know, we never really talked about just, like, trying to be those guys. We just trying to be ourselves, really. And knowing that, like, every week we're just kind of up for a new challenge. And, you know, what they did for their tenure was really special. And we just had to attack every single day just to try and hold the standard as best we could just to kind of mimic those guys, man.
Let's leave the jersey in a better place, right? So we find ourselves in a similar scenario going into 2025. We asked Jay a little bit about it, but who do you see stepping up for us this year?
I mean, you got some guys in that room. I'll tell you what, you know, Jaden Harrell, I mean, he's a good player now. You know, you got Carson Shire. That's a killer. That's a killer, right? And then Rex Ross made plays, you know. All those guys in there, you got some walk-on mentalities and Nolan DeLong. And, you know, I think that Jaymont, all those guys, man. So if you're watching and I missed your name, but, like, I'm sorry. But I think that linebacker group right there is the deepest on the team for sure.
Jay talked to us about a little bit what you mentioned when you said that as a player you weren't trying to be Jack and Seth. You and Jay were going to be your own version of whatever you were going to be. Jay said that Coach Wallace did a really good job, or just in general does a really good job of coaching guys, figuring out a way to coach guys the perfect way that they need to be coached.
Yeah.
I think his example was, like, for you and Jay, you guys just wanted the call, and then that would allow you to get up to the line and just – play football. And for them, Seth and Jack, they had like 16 different ways to check into something different, and they loved doing it that way. What other than that, and maybe you can elaborate on that too, allowed Coach Wallace to set that standard from the top? Because this linebacker room, going back to our time with Josie, going all the way back to the guys on the wall of that meeting room you sat in, Chad Greenway, Abdul Hodge, like all these guys, why is Coach Wallace able to just hold that standard, and what is so special about that room?
I mean, it's just, we don't let everybody in, you know, we don't let everybody in it.
I like that.
But I think that it's, you know, you have to earn the right to be in the room. You have to earn the right to stay in the room, right? And it's a standard when you're in that room. You know that you have to know the front, you know, you have to know the back end, and you know, you have to go out there and perform and, you know, execute and operate at a high level day in and day out. You know, even in the facility, you have to set a standard for the team, right? So because he always talks about the way you present yourself. And even when you present yourself in team meeting and how you're operating in academics, you know, he should be able to, you know, watch film during the academic meetings, right? You shouldn't have to worry or hear anybody that's a list guy in the linebacker room. He shouldn't have to hear anybody missing weight, missing refuel, anything like that. That's not the culture in there, right? So I think that when you have that standard like that, and you bring in guys like that who are all operating on a team first basis, you know, those guys will do anything for the team, right? And I think, you know, nowadays you get caught up with a bunch of guys who who maybe not aren't as interested in the team anymore with everything going on just in college football. But he does a great job of making it all about the team, and how we operate is in sync with making this team go.
I love that answer.
Love that answer. Dude was born to be a Hawkeye. He just didn't know it until a few years later.
Dude, I'm saying, man, he could have been 5-6 years at Iowa too. Hypothetical. One of your boys from Virginia hits you up. You're catching up, and they're like, "Hey, what's Coach Ferentz like? Like, tell me about Coach Ferentz. What is your answer?"
He's unbelievable. He's a true leader. Honestly, like, he's a great person. Like, there's no reason that he has to be up at 4:30 in the morning just to say hello to us in the weight room when we're working out, right? There's nothing he has to do about that. Like, there's nothing in his job description that says that that's what he needs to do. There's nothing that says that, like, he needs to stay for dinner and check in on all of us. And he knows every single person in the building's name and checks in on every single person every single day, right? If he sees you, he'll say hello, and he cares, you know? You can tell how much he cares about each individual person and how much, like, when you develop someone and you care so much, like, you're working to develop someone – that, like, builds your and strengthens your relationship so much more with someone versus just, like, someone's like, "Hey, I care about the football side of you, and are you already good or are you not good, right?" It's like, how can I get you better? What's wrong? Like, how can I help you? Like, what's going on? And Coach Ferentz does an unbelievable job of just connecting with his players, and everybody wants to play, like, through the walls for him.
Football guy.
Yeah, huge football guy.
You remember off the top of your head, the first time you saw emotional Kirk, he gets that, his face starts to.
I don't remember the first time. I remember I looked at Kyler Fisher and I was like, is he crying? Like, I've never had, Coach Mendenhall cried one time, but he cried and I was like, is he crying? And then, like, Kyler Fisher is like, "Yeah, and this shit fires me up." So I was like,
oh. Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, okay, I bet." Like, we're fired up now. Okay, so, like, this is normal.
When KF cries, at least this is the way it was for me as a player, it's like this, something's in the air. You can, like, feel how much this man loves the game of football and loves his guys.
Yeah.
That's what fires you up. You're like, okay, here we go. Let's go to war. I don't care who it's against. I'm with this guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you look to the sideline, you're like, I'm going to war for this guy. Like, I'll put my body on the line. I don't care.
I think, we played for him for 5 years, so we probably had a few more emotional KFs than you did. But, man, it's just like, there were even some moments where, like, you wouldn't even expect it. And you're just like, God, this guy cares. He it means so much to him.
Yeah,
he's a true leader. I love the way you describe him with that. A true leader. Kev, you got anything else before we toss it up to G-Bone?
I was gonna say, we got Jay's side of the Matt Rhule incident. I want to hear what your thoughts were about that whole thing. Obviously, you had a few things to say towards the after the game. Because, like, you were the one, like, he's walking in front of you during, like, the pregame warm-ups or something like that, or, like, what the hell was going on that day?
Yeah, I mean, Jay's kind of elaborated. He was very open to the media about a lot of the stuff that was going on.
You two gave the best tandem interview after that game that I've ever seen, by the way.
It's funny because there's, like, two dudes that are training down here that played at Nebraska. So, I've been giving them all the time. Thanks, bud. even one of them honestly was, like, talking about how they got in, like, some pregame altercation or something like that. Maybe a couple games before.
At USC.
At USC they did. I think at Colorado they did. I mean, it's like kind of like, hey,
I was like,
tossed out of five bars, man. It's not the bar's fault.
I told him. I said, have you ever, like, thought about the fact that if everyone's having a problem with you and they've never had a problem before, that maybe you're the problem?
Hey, look at Nebraska education, man.
But yeah, those guys, I mean, you know, everything's ramped up a little bit when you put pads on, and you know, you don't like to play the game before the game, right? Or get angry at anything, but you know, there's a certain respect that comes with playing the game of football that you have for your opponent. And whether it's in play before the game or anything like that, you treat the game with respect and dignity. And I think that just in terms of that, like, we felt a little bit disrespected, you know. So, you know, at that cost, you know, it was emotional for us. And, you know, we wanted to go win that game for sure. Just because, you know, I don't think that that's kind of acceptable, really.
So far, it just makes the win so much more sweeter, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's already a rivalry game. Everything's already hyped up. And, mm-hmm. you know, you hear the chatter all week. Okay, yeah, we only beat you on a game-winning field goal last year, yada, 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 like all that stuff. So, you know, I mean, you know how much you hate to lose, right? So it's just anything like that, you hate it even more. So you're doing anything at any cost just to go win that game.
The pettiness of Jay's handshake with him after the game is just chef's kiss. I mean, I've never seen any execution better than that. It was is my favorite. And then you step into that interview and you both got a smile on your face. It's the last regular season game. You guys know you don't have to play them again. So you guys were a little bit looser in that. I mean, it was, I mean, bravo, Nick Jackson and Jay Higgins. That was art. It was theater.
They're cutting like a WWE promo.
Performance too.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't even know until we got in there that Jay ran over there and shook his hand, and I was like, "That's amazing." But I just remember he came to the sideline after they went out for the coin toss, right? And he goes, he's like, "They didn't shake my hand. Like, they didn't shake our hands." Like, I was sitting there like, "What do you mean?" Like, he's like, "They didn't shake our hands." So then it's just like, you strap it up. You're like, all right, let's go. Like, let's go. Like, it's go time, right?
Yeah.
And the game wasn't going our way really at all, you know? So, I mean, we had some heroic plays by John Nestor getting that punt downed. And then we had Caleb Johnson's, you know, just going Caleb Johnson beast mode. I don't even know how to describe what that how that happened.
That guy, but, you know, is something else.
The most Iowa victory ever. But, yeah, I mean, as soon as that kick went in, and, you know, I'm just, you know, going to celebrate with my teammates. And I look up in the media, Jay Higgins went to go celebrate with Matt Rule. So that was awesome.
What are your I'll let G-Bone, I promise I'll let you ask questions. I have one more. What's Kinnick like from an outsider's perspective? You come in your first couple games, you get to play 2 years in Kinnick Stadium. What was that experience for you?
It's nuts. It's unreal. It's like, you can't even hear yourself think, right? It's an adrenaline rush that I'll never get in my life again, probably. So,
come on, man. You got a few more football games left in you.
Yeah, but I don't know if it'll be like Kinnick.
I mean, if you're like Coop and you just get drafted by the right team.
Yeah, but it's just the way it's built, right? So it's just like the way when you get to that north end zone, it's like,
true.
Everything's on top of, like, I don't know if that level, like, even when we played in the wideout at Penn State, it's like that, like, how loud it is still doesn't, like, project.
Yeah. Kinnick, everyone's right on top of you.
Yeah, so, like, everything on Kinnick is just right on top of you, which is unreal. Like, a bunch of the dudes here, they came to me and they're like, dude, like, we played at Texas, we played at Oregon, night games, all that stuff, but, like, when we played at Iowa, it's by far the loudest environment that I could ever, like dream of. So I'm like,
love to hear it.
Yeah, so I mean, Kinnick's unreal. The fans come, they're rowdy, and you know, it's awesome.
I'm hoping at some point they redo the south end zone like the north end zone,
to mirror the north end zone,
to make it
that would be the best what they could do.
And then you just put another press box on the east side too. And
that would be the best thing that they could
do. Well, you're probably not going to do that because it'll block the hospital. But
I was going to say, you're just saying goodbye to the kids. Can't wave them anymore.
What you could do then is you could also renovate
in the press box.
You could renovate the hospital to add another 5 or 10 stories.
You do a skywalk so that the kids can walk over to the press box.
There you go. There you go. Good idea. G-Bone, you got anything for our guy here?
Yeah, no, I got a few questions for you, Nick. So going off of what you said earlier about the photo shoot stuff, I thought that was funny. But you did mention you were recruited by LSU. And around this same time that Brian Kelly video was going viral, him like standing doing dances with a recruit on like a spinning selfie stick or whatever. I think it's not the best description of it, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Did Brian Kelly ever make you do that or try to get you to do that while you were getting recruited?
No, I never did that with Brian Kelly.
Okay, all right. I just had to make sure. All right, I don't know if that video was out.
There's not some hidden footage out there.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Nick Jackson going like this. Like.
No, I think Wallace would resend the offer.
He might.
Well, I was hoping too. Is like, well, LSU had Nick Jackson until Brian Kelly tried to do a dance video with him.
Screw that. I'm going to Iowa.
So then I was listening to another podcast, Ron. You said you were close with a lot of other Virginia sports on campus. They're all very successful while you were there. Yeah. Like I think basketball was either just off the championship. I think lacrosse won two while you were there. Like who are some of the other athletes that you were interacting with a lot? Were you close with anyone else from other sports?
Yeah. So, I mean, like Jono Isler and a bunch of guys on the lacrosse team, you know, Talia Stoudy, Jansen, all those girls on the women's soccer team. And then, you know, on the basketball team, you know, we hung out with like Trey Murphy and, you know, Kie sometimes and those guys. But, yeah, honestly, just kind of like just bouncing around, you know, at Virginia, it's like a big school, but like a small school in the sense of like everyone's in the same area. You know, if you go out, like you're going to see the same guys. So it's like, yeah, everybody knows each other. So, you know, you go out and you support those guys because, you know, everybody knows what everybody's going through.
Right. Yeah. Are you going to, how much like credit do you want to take for the back-to-back lacrosse championships? Do you want like 5%? Do you want like just from like an enthusiasm, maybe like a fan standpoint?
Big lacrosse guy we got here.
Yeah. I mean, if Jono watches this, I'd tell him like I got like at least 10% on it.
10%? Okay. All right. See, these guys get crazy when I say like when it, like fans watching the game is like at least 2%. Like yeah. it's a small margin. All right.
You love cheering for your alma mater. You know what I mean? Like there's like you cheer for Iowa, you cheer for Virginia, you're gonna be rowdy about it.
There you go. And then my last thing is we do a lot of Big Ten stadium talk. Like we've gone back and forth, oh, this spot's maybe underrated or whatever, but I don't know if I mean I might have missed it. I don't think we've ever done an ACC stadium talk. You have more experience than anyone we've ever talked to. What are some underrated ACC stadiums that Iowa fans might not be aware of in terms of just the environment for an away team?
Ooh. I mean, Hard Rock is cool. Like that one was super fun playing.
Okay.
Honestly, like when we went to Hard Rock, I think it was a top 25 matchup, but it wasn't like it was sold out, but it's just loud the way it's built too. Like then in the dome, Syracuse was a really good Friday night game.
Sure, yeah.
Dome sold out. That was loud. Playing the first time playing in like a dome.
Have you ever seen the famous Iowa highlight, goal line stand from the Syracuse game?
Yeah, I did. And I also saw that J-Man had, you know, 4 interceptions or something like that. Justin Manson.
Yeah.
Jason, sorry.
He Tough day for him, but he's the man. He is
I'm just messing with him. He's he's awesome.
Friend of the show, we had him on for an episode a couple years ago when he first came into
the program.
That
guy. He slung a couple too.
What?
He slung a couple in the end zone, right?
He would have had to have because they won the game. So I mean, they had to score somehow. But that goal line stand is all time. Josie actually did something somewhat similar, I think, against like Rutgers 1 year. Right, Kev? Yeah.
He had all 4 tackles.
He had 4 tackles in a row on the goal line. Which honestly kind of sounds like a Nick Jackson or Jay Higgins thing to do. Like the one, like it seemed like every time a running back came through the hole against you guys, it was just there was a wall there. And
you're just describing the Northwestern.
That one specifically.
You're describing that.
Oh, beautiful. Just, I think I speak for all Hawkeye fans, Nick, when I say we are thoroughly going to miss watching you in the Hawkeye uniform. I heard in another interview you did that you wanted to leave an impact and you didn't just want to be viewed as a transfer portal guy and you wanted to be seen as a Hawkeye. And I got exactly what you meant when you said that, because some guys nowadays in this world, they transfer, they're at a place for a year and you're like, wait a second. He went there. Like he was
just passing through.
Yeah. I can tell you 100% from the outside, Nick, that you are a Hawkeye and that is how we view you. And we appreciate everything you did in the black and gold.
Thank you. That means more than you'll ever know. I appreciate that.
And we hope that Jaden and Carson and all those boys can fill the shoes, because they're big shoes to fill. You guys left the jersey in a better place. So we thank you for the hour, man. It's we understand you're busy. You got some important shit on this very near horizon, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks everybody for listening to the show. Episode 582 or something. We're nearing 600 very soon. Shout out. Give us a little subscribe on the YouTube, by the way, if you're still watching on that version. We're trying to hit 4,000 subscribers. We'll be back with more guests here soon in the coming weeks, and we'll see you then. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.